For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always.
Always.
Use your head.
You are now listening to Chair Shot Radio. Always use your head.
Oh, yeah. Look at us, coming to you, David Ungar and Patrick O'Dowd, on Monday, not Sunday. New date and time, David. How's it feel to be here on Kayfabe Monday?
Ironically, a lot like it felt being here on Kayfabe Sunday, but, you know, it's all good.
I know. You know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. You are listening to Chairshot Radio, a part of the Chairshot Radio Network on thechairshot.com. David Ungar and Patrick O'Dowd here to give you all the latest in the NHL. That has been our niche. It's our thing. Season is quickly coming to a close. There are only four teams left. So we are going to break down both semifinal series today, take our commercial break, and then we're actually going to shift gears entirely and talk a little college football, because some news dropped this past week that I'm personally very excited about. I know Dave talked about it a little bit as well. And so we figured that might be a nice way to wrap up. But before we do any of that, we have got to talk hockey. And that means hockey playoff music from ESPN. Oh, chills. Woo. I love it. Every time we play it. Fade out, baby. Oh, makes my heart swell. And then there were four. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have been listening to Chairshot Radio and listen to Dave and I's analysis on Stanley Cup contenders, you should stop listening to us, because Dave and I were completely wrong. Both of our picks are now officially out, as Vegas not only wrapped up Colorado, did it in six after I said it would be in seven. Dave and I, after games one and two, were like, this series is done. We were wrong. They, of course, have advanced, and they are playing the team that upended my Stanley Cup pick and then upended Winnipeg, the Montreal Canadiens, the Habs. And they're hot, what, seven in a row? They haven't lost in seven games, seven or eight in a row.
Beyond, it's insane. It's beyond that. They have not trailed in like 447 minutes.
That's obscene.
They've won seven in a row, and they have not trailed at any point in any of those games. And that is, I think it's like fourth longest streak of all time or something ridiculous like that. That's, I mean, what Montreal has done is nothing short of astounding at this point.
I don't even know. And the thing is I don't buy the Canadians. I still don't buy the Canadians. Like, we're going to talk about this series first. And I'm still looking, like, maybe it's that my brain is like looking at this on paper and I'm like, they just don't have the horses, yet they keep winning. And like, I'm looking at this matchup against Vegas, and this series starts tonight on NBCSN at 9 o'clock. And I'm like, I think it's in Vegas. They're going to have their crowd. I got to tell you, it makes my heart hurt that Alex Pietrangelo was the fucking difference maker and the Blues let him go. Like, I'm still like, I get it was cap constraints and they had to make a decision, but man, I wish they would have kept Alex Pietrangelo. And he showed up. Yeah. He looked like a Stanley Cup guy.
I think I texted you at some point when he scored the back-breaking goal, right, in that game. And I said, Pietrangelo, there it is. I Yeah, I mean, that series, I mean, if you look at the way that those two series went down, I mean, Montreal really had no trouble with Winnipeg, which was surprising.
No, not at all.
But
dominant.
I think after that Scheifele hit in game one, Winnipeg just was, they were just done at that point. I mean, they'd lost their best player right. and their captain. And, you know, and that's two series in a row that Montreal has eliminated the team captain, obviously various, you know, different reasons. But I was a little bit surprised at how easy Montreal dispatched Winnipeg. Vegas, on the other hand, I mean, yeah, you're talking about they just took out probably the best team in hockey, at least for the regular season, for sure.
We declared them the most complete team in hockey. They repeatedly talked about how good they were.
They made some real bad mental mistakes, especially game five where they blew that third period lead.
That overtime goal was terrible.
And they didn't play smart for a team with a 2-goal lead in the third period at home in game five. They let Vegas back in, but you got to take your hat off to Marc-Andre Fleury. This guy is 36 years old and just
standing on his head.
I mean, he stole the series from Colorado. So you've got the two hottest goalies going head to head with each other right now in one series. And, you know, I guess it's time to talk about it a little bit. I listened to a lot of stuff yesterday. Everybody's predicting this to be a quick series, like a sweep for Vegas or a 5-game series.
No, I don't buy that at all. I think it's going at all.
I mean, I think Vegas wins it, but it's going to take
it
six.
But I think they win in six.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's Vegas in six. I think you just hit it on the head. You got two of the hottest goaltenders in all of hockey. And this is what happens in the playoffs. We've been talking about it week after week. Hot goaltender makes anything possible. And you've got that on both of these teams. And Montreal's goaltender is eluding me. Help me with the name. What's his name?
Carey Price.
Carey Price. He's probably the best goaltender still in the playoffs right now, just in terms of performance.
Yeah, I mean, you look at I mean, this is why I don't discount Montreal in this series, because I'd say on paper, just looking at the two teams on paper, I'd say Vegas has a little bit more talent than Toronto did.
Absolutely.
But Toronto wasn't exactly a bunch of pushovers, and Carey Price shut them down. Vegas has to be on high alert for is if you drop one of these two games at home in Vegas, you're in trouble, because I don't know if they're going to take one of the two that go to Montreal. That place is getting their people back in bigger numbers. Yeah. That's an insane environment. Not that Vegas isn't, because it is, but I think Vegas has they have to hold serve at home, take one of the two from Montreal in Montreal if they can, and then try and weather the storm. You know, Vegas showed me something. I mean, this is a team, I mentioned it to you after they got up 3-2. I said, you know, and you said, this isn't over yet. And I said, well, Vegas does have a history of shitting the bed in important situations.
And they didn't.
They didn't for once.
No, they were in charge of that game six. Like I watched about half of it. I watched like the second half on, because I remember texting you when they went up 2 goals. And I was like, that's that. Like, and you could just see it. Like Colorado was completely deflated. They were down 3-1. And that was that. And I think they got a goal not too long after that. And I was like, well, and then Vegas shut the door.
I think if I remember, Colorado scored 23 seconds in. Vegas got, then it was 2-2. And then didn't Colorado gave up another terrible goal in like the last 20 seconds?
Yeah,
that was it.
It was something off the point. It was just.
Well, the boards in Vegas do weird things. The puck comes off the boards in Vegas.
And you were talking about the fans in Montreal, but the fans in Vegas turn out as well. I think they're going to be there for it. I think at the end, the talent's going to win out. I think Montreal can't keep up what they're doing. But I do think it goes six. I don't think it's going to be a quick series by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got Vegas in six as well. I think it's going to be a fun series. They're two very different teams. Montreal has to basically copy what the Caps did in 2018 to Vegas. Slow them down.
But that's what they do. They grind you.
They do.
Montreal grinds you, and they frustrate you. And you mentioned it. The goaltending gets frustrating for opponents, and that's when Montreal capitalizes. I don't want to say collapses.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I do want to shift over, though, to the other series that by the time we drop this recording will have already been a game in. The other semifinal matchup between Tampa Bay, who is looking every bit the determined Stanley Cup champions that they are, taking on what I would say is a little bit of a surprise for the both of us. We had Boston getting past the Islanders, and they said, no, thank you. They're in this series. The first game will have happened. We haven't seen it yet because we're recording on a Saturday. The first game will happen on Sunday. But what do you make of this series? Because of the two, you mentioned people talking about Vegas and Montreal being the quick one. I think Tampa Bay, the way they're playing right now, this one has the potential to be the one that goes maybe only five.
I disagree.
I don't think it'll be a sweep.
I can't agree with that. And I'll tell you why. Is you're right. Tampa looks every bit the juggernaut, the defending champion. I mean, you're talking about they've just taken out Florida, a really good Florida team in six, and an even better Carolina team in five. So they're clicking right on all cylinders. The Islanders, though, you know, they really are feeding off of what's going on at Nassau Coliseum, and the fans singing the Star Spangled Banner the other night was absolutely awesome. And I hate the Islanders, but I will give them that. That was an awesome moment. You know, the thing is, these are two teams who know each other pretty well, even though they haven't played this year. The same two teams who met in the conference finals last year, Tampa took them out in six. I do buy into what I was listening to the analysts on NBC saying, that this is a better Islanders team, a more complete Islanders team, a more experienced Islanders team. Tampa Bay is every bit as good as they were a year before. I'm with you. I think Tampa Bay wins it, but I think this one goes the distance. Last year went six. I think the Islanders pushed them a little bit more. The bubble, not playing in a bubble, is going to be a factor this year, and I think that carries the Islanders into a game seven. I don't think they can win. I think Tampa's just got too much talent. Sooner or later, Vasilevsky will get the advantage over Varlamov, and Tampa's just got too much talent up and down the lineup for the Islanders to actually beat them. It could happen. It could happen, but I can't. I mean, the only you see these weird things. This is the last season for Nassau Coliseum, so wouldn't it be appropriate for the Islanders to run this thing all the way to the end in the final season of that fabled arena? But
sure,
I don't think it's happening.
That's the storyline. That's the storyline, and I think Tampa Bay is going to burn it to the ground. I've just been nothing but impressed with the way they've played, and again, you just watch it. That Tampa Bay is playing like a team on a mission right now, and that's the thing that, like, I get the feel good. I don't think Tampa Bay is going to care. I think they're going to establish a tone. I think they take games one and two, and maybe I think that New York gets one, but I really am sold on the Lightning. And they're my pick. They're my pick now. Like in the reset, I'm picking Tampa Bay to repeat, which is unheard of with the Stanley Cup. Yeah, they're playing so well right now, and I think that they're going to upend New York. I think they're going to be a splash of cold water, and I think that they're more than equipped to handle both. I think they're more than ready to face either Vegas or the Habs. Like, I just think it is. And so when I'm wrong, because of course I'm going to be wrong, you can come back when I come back from vacation and rub it in my face.
Well, the thing with Tampa, we said it all year long, you know, since we've been doing this since the season started, is Tampa was never playing at full strength until the playoffs got here. And they got, they got Kucherov back, and they are different. Kucherov, they flipped the switch.
Yes.
And I think the best series we could get for the Stanley Cup final would be Tampa Bay Vegas. And that would be phenomenal. Right. I mean, that's going to be a phenomenal series. And I would reserve judgment until I see how they handle their semifinal opponents, because that's a toss up, because those are two teams that can flat out play and can stop the puck. But I think the Islanders are riding a lot of momentum. They keep surpassing expectations. Like they've done all playoffs. You know, people didn't think they beat Pittsburgh. People didn't think they beat Boston. I think they pushed Tampa a little bit more this year, and it'll probably help Tampa. But you may be right. It may be a quick series, Tampa in four or five.
I don't think it'll be a sweep. I don't think you get to this point and you get to this point in the playoffs and no team is an easy out, like an entirely easy out. But I think in the land of challenges, I think that Tampa Bay, to me, and this is, you know, this is an eye test thing too, right? Like this is what I'm seeing when I'm watching them play. They just, like, every line looks competent. Every line takes control of the game. And like, that's the thing, is Carolina just looked like overwhelmed. They looked completely, like, this is a really good team that looked like they were juniors skating against pros. And that, I mean, it's the same comparison. It's the same comp I used to make when I talked about watching Colorado play and Vegas play. It just seems like they found a whole other level. And Kucherov, I think, like you said, has a lot to do with that. And so, yeah, I'm going to be bullish on it. And again, when I'm wrong, because I've yet to predict anything correctly in the Stanley Cup, other than I did say that the St. Louis Blues were pretenders. That
now,
I got right.
Now, you know, we're going to end up with the Islanders Canadians for the Stanley Cup. And
which
would be okay.
The NHL will be happy with that, just because you think about that. Like, both of the Canada is going to turn out. If Montreal gets to the finals and has a shot,
huge.
And the New York market in general, like whether it's the Rangers or the Islanders, like the New York market, and like you said, the Nassau Coliseum, this being the last season that they're going to play in that arena, that's a good story too. I just don't see that series happening.
I don't either. But I mean, if it did, you've got the Islanders haven't won a cup since 83. No team in Canada has won a cup since 93. Yeah, I mean,
it's an original six.
No, the Islanders weren't an original six team. The Rangers were.
What about the Habs?
The Habs are, yeah. The Habs are, for sure.
An original six team, yeah.
But I mean, yeah. If the Canadians get to the finals, Canada will come unglued. And
oh God.
I mean, and every place in Canada, whether you're a Maple Leafs fan or a Jets fan, right, or an Oilers fan or a Flame
so
fan,
much pride,
everybody
there
will be riding on Montreal to win.
Trudeau will be at a game. Mark my words. If the Canadians make it, Trudeau will make an appearance.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is the thing. These series are both, and we've seen it so many times in the hockey playoffs that you look at on paper and say, that team can't match up with that team. And what happens?
Right.
The upset takes place.
The Avalanche, Colorado. Yeah. So yeah, that's exhibit A. All right. So that's going to do it for this week's hockey talk. We are getting closer and closer to the cup being raised. I hope that these are thrilling series. I hope I'm wrong about the Islander Tampa Bay Lightning series, because I want compelling hockey, and playoff hockey is always the best hockey. But we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little college football. Before we go to the recorded commercials, though, it is my duty to remind you that if you like what we do over here at the Chairshot Radio Network on thechairshot.com, to head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up a Chairshot shirt. We have all kinds of designs for you to choose from. We have our OG Chair Shot logo to phrases from the show, sayings like hashtag journalism. We've got shirts for shows like Bandwagon Nerds, Dave and I's other passion project that we drop for the network. They're all there. They're great stuff. And it is really, truly the best way to support the Chair Shot Radio Network. It's what keeps us going. We love being able to provide you content each and every day, and we want to be able to keep doing that for you. And so the best way to do it is to head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. You can get a shirt in standard style for $19.99, or you can spend a few dollars more if you're feeling fancy and get one stop style. Once again, that site is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Thank you, everyone, for your support. When we come back, a little bit of news, exciting news out of college football. You're listening to Chairshot Radio on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's Angry Lemonade, ChairShotRadio.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Go to powerslam.tv, promo code ChairShot. Get your free month. Again, that's powerslam.tv, promo code ChairShot.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And we are back. All right. Topic to wrap up this Monday edition, our first Monday edition of Chair Shot Radio. A news broke in the college football circles announcing that as early as 2023, we could be seeing a significant expansion to the college football playoff system from four teams to 12. Dave, you all can't see this. Dave just applauded. I echo that applause. A couple of the notes for the breakdown is that there will be four byes and they will go to conference champions. As Dave pointed out in a chat, that means that Notre Dame can never get a bye unless they join a conference. So they'll still get at large bids because Notre Dame, but they will never get a bye. They'll always have to truly earn their national championship. But Dave, I'll start with you. Clearly you're happy about this news. What are some of your thoughts? What are your feelings with this? I think it's long overdue.
Yeah, I don't know. Long overdue. I mean, it's overdue, but I think after the success of seeing what the 14 playoff was doing and how it had eclipsed what the BCS, the nonsense with the BCS was, we're actually now determining a winner on the field instead of with computers and polls and that kind of bullshit. I'm a little surprised. I really thought they'd do eight. I didn't think they'd go to 12. I thought, well, eight makes sense. You know, it's a nice even number. They don't have to worry about buys.
Right.
I get why they've done what they've done, that, you know, you take, I mean, I get it, but at the same time, it's like, wait, so you've got five power conferences, but only four buys. So one power conference still gets screwed.
Yeah, the Pac-12. So, like it's the Pac-12. The Pac-12 will get, yeah, will be the non-buy team.
Until they get a team that's actually competitive and can actually make a statement, a case for being one of the top four teams, which has not happened.
Is Oregon going to learn how to play defense?
I don't know. I mean, maybe USC returns to relevance. Maybe UCLA does something.
That's adorable. That's adorable. USC thinks they're USC reminds me of Notre Dame, that old guard school that still just hasn't figured out that they're not what they once were. It's like Ohio State. Like Ohio State's another school that I frankly like, and I'll even say this about the Big Ten, and I'm Mr. Big Ten country. Big Ten's overrated. When it comes to, like, they're really a one school
especially when you consider how many teams are in the Big Ten now, 14.
Yeah, well,
so it's like name change. Anybody?
But you have Ohio State, and I'm not saying Ohio State's not a Big Ten, you know, big time program, but you see it; they get exposed. Like I was surprised they beat Clemson. Didn't they? Or
yeah.
did they advance?
They beat Clemson and
fairly soundly.
They 42-28. I think that was the score.
Yeah, like they handled their business because Trevor Lawrence got crushed, and then you know, then the Ohio State turned around and got their ass beat pretty handled.
I tell you one thing I heard that really kind of resonated with me about why this makes a lot of sense and why it's good for the game is because really since the playoffs started, you've looked at there's been three programs that have dominated and are all Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State. They're State. There every year. And
right. And then usually that second SEC team
right.
is usually the other one.
And it just gets old. So there's so many teams that are just relegated to like, you know, okay, well, I'm playing for a Peach Bowl bid or something like that instead of actually being in the running for a championship. And this adds a lot more importance to the later season games. And it like somebody was saying, you know, if you're in the top 20 and you're in the last two or three weeks of the season, you still legitimately have a shot at getting to the playoff. So, I mean, and it's going to be a lot more like the NFL and all these other things. I mean, four teams was a good start. Hey, this works really well. Let's expand it. So I'm thrilled you're going to get a lot more. You know, some of the mid-major conferences like Conference USA or the MAC might slip a team in at large. All this stuff. Remember, a couple years ago? Which team was undefeated? Was it Central Florida or?
There's always one. So there's always one, whether it's USF. UCF was one year. This past year, Cincinnati was the outside looking in. So here's the thing. I went to an FCS school, right? So I went to Eastern Illinois University, where they've had playoffs forever. And I think eventually we'll get a 16-team college football playoff. Like, I think that will happen at some point. And Greg DeMarco has the book that I loaned him forever ago that he never read. And I'm sure he just took politely and then just put it away. And now it's been sitting. I actually saw it the last time I visited him. I was like, oh, this is my book. And then didn't take it back. But it actually laid out a 16-team playoff where every conference champion made the playoffs. And then you had four at-large bids or something like that. And everybody starts at round one and you earn your way through. And it was, you know, that's the same thing with FCS. FCS plays a couple games shorter season. They might play like a 10 game season. I can't remember what it is, but then you potentially play four games on top of that. I do think that it does present a little bit of an interesting conundrum if you keep the 12 game season format with a conference championship game, and like you can play up to 17 games. That's a lot for college football. I'm sure that's a legitimate concern, but it wouldn't surprise me because it's going to make money. Like, and at the end of the day, you see it at the NCAA tournament. Like, they just keep slowly throwing a little bit more in basketball. And so I think at some point we'll be up to a 16-team playoff. That's an even bracket. It's easy to do. The 18 or the 12-team format that we got now, I already see that we're going to start seeing three SEC teams in. We're going to see the two teams that make it to the conference championship game, which devalues that conference championship game a little bit. But, and then you'll see that at-large team on the outside. So, like, you know, Alabama and Florida play each other in the SEC conference championship game. And then, like, Texas A&M gets in because they had the big year that year. Or Georgia gets in because they had the big year that year. And as much as people are tired of the SEC, until another conference proves otherwise, it's the best conference in college football.
Oh, absolutely. Period. Yeah, I mean,
there's no discussion to have it.
Yeah, you talk about the Big Ten. They've got, you know, Ohio State. Several rungs below that is Michigan. And then, you know, you've got the rest of the
Big Ten. You're already out of order because it's actually Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan. Penn State's number two.
There you go.
And it's funny because the Big Ten East is just ridiculous. And the Big Ten West, nobody cares about. Like, because the Big Ten West, that's Wisconsin. You got Wisconsin and Iowa, and that's really it. And neither of those teams are sexy, flashy, and they make it to the Big Ten championship game every year and then just get crushed. Right. Minnesota had that one good feel-good season. You know, the ACC is kind of the same way.
Clemson and everybody else.
And everybody else. Florida State is the school that you just keep waiting for it to return to relevancy, and it just hasn't.
But, you know,
Miami's the same way. Like, you keep waiting and they just keep not doing it.
If Notre Dame joins a conference, it would probably be the ACC because didn't they do that last year in the shortened season?
They sort of did that, and they're in the ACC in basketball.
Yeah.
So it would make the most sense. No, you know, it's funny because the Big Ten had eyes on Notre Dame forever. And Notre Dame has just been like, no, they're fiercely independent and they're proud. And I think what it's going to take them getting bounced in the first round of the playoffs a couple of times for them to be like, well, maybe we need to rethink this and maybe we'll finally get that history made. But this is nothing but good for college football. It's going to make them a ton of money. Fans have been clamoring for something like this for years. Like you said, you know, you talked about the the BCS, but I mean, it used to be, it was an arbitrary decision made by coaches and journalists. You went by the AP and coaches polls to determine a champion. And so I look forward to seeing it pan out. I hope it gets voted through and passed. And I hope that come 2023, we're looking at a more extensive playoff picture. So,
and a college football video game too.
Right. There you go. All right, man, we are at about 30 minutes. So we're going to wrap it up. I think that's going to do it for this Monday edition, our new date and time. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Dave, before we go, tell everybody where to find you out there in the social media.
You can find me at on Twitter at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG, and on Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression.
And you can follow me on the Twitter at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. Listen to Chair Shot Radio every Monday through Friday now, as we will have something different and unique with a rotating group of hosts every day. Good first show, Dave. Good first Monday. It's like I said, what's old is new again. Looking forward to doing this again.
Yes.
And yeah, that's going to do it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. You've been listening to Chair Shot Radio, part of the Chair Shot Radio Network on thechairshot.com. Later today, make sure you catch Dave and I again on Bandwagon Nerds as Monday afternoon at 2. That's the next show that's up on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Thanks, everyone.
How to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.